there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. I am John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report on the LasVegasSun.com and LasVegasWeekly.com websites and in the Sun print edition. I do all sorts of writing for Greenspun Media Group. Joining me is Trish McCrone, my beautiful co-host, Trish. Hello. How you doing, baby doll?
Hello. I have a little bit of a cough today. So I'm a little, you know, I've kind of maybe what people might consider like a sexier voice than I usually do, because I usually have that high
it's
screeching.
It's working for me.
I have that high screeching pitch usually going. But, you know, speaking of Cats with the Dish.
Yes.
Our show has even more to do with cats today.
It centers on somebody who's made their career with cats, most of it, but is not using them now, and it's Rick Thomas.
Not using them any longer. Yes, yeah. Yes. So it's like, but I mean, it's weird because there are kind of magic phenomenons that go on. And having had dated a magician in my past, I consider myself somewhat of a.
I've dated some magicians too.
Yes, yeah. They made you disappear.
I made my central nervous system disappear.
They made your better judgment disappear.
Oh, dishy.
We could go on and on.
I would say stop, but it's actually pretty fun.
Made your clarity disappear. I've known some of those, I have to say.
Back on the topic of strip entertainment, I remember one time Wayne told me this, and one of the first interviews I did with him at the time, there was a big renaissance of impressionists happening in Las Vegas. And this was a long time ago, and he goes, it happens in Las Vegas. And he goes, I remember not long ago at the time, everybody had to have a magic act. There was magicians everywhere in Las Vegas, and
yeah,
it's a cyclical thing.
Yeah, he said with Siegfried and Roy, then everyone was going to do a magician, and everyone was going to have tigers, and everyone was going to have this. And then all of a sudden, Danny Gans was hot. Then
yep,
everyone
was
an impressionist.
That was the time when Gans was just starting.
Yeah, then everyone's doing impressionists. Then one Cirque show comes in, and then now
we're
still
Cirque.
In the Cirque town. You know, it kind of has gone from the, you know, when it started back to be the headliners and where the casinos would, you know, put all their money and everything behind a celebrity, a headliner, and then they were kind of their branding for the place. And so, and then now it's just, but I do have to say, and I don't want to say who, but I joke a lot about the show that if I had somebody that would want to give millions that I could get a room and would pay and a showroom and I could do my own little version of what I thought would be entertaining, and as long as I could pay for it and the billboards would be paid for, I probably could do that. Well, there was a time not so long ago, speaking of magic, and I was working producing things for a Vegas website type of thing, and so there was a show that was coming on, and I'm not going to say where it was, but I went to go see the show, and having date a magician, like, I am the type of person where, like, a French drop making a quarter disappear, I'm like, ooh, I mean, practically the thumb trick still gets me, like, woohoo, you know, where you make the thumb.
And the French drop in this context is a magic.
Yes, it is. It's nothing.
Nothing
personal.
It's not a dating tip.
Yeah, it wasn't a dating tip. So, it could be. But so we're doing this whole thing. So I am really easily impressed. Like, somebody does the simplest magic, I'm like, wee, you know, like, I like to be entertained. When I tell you props were falling out of coats, you know, like literally something was supposed to levitate, a table was supposed to levitate in the bottom half of the table, like the actual stand and the legs fell off the table, came crashing to the ground. Then it was, you know, water was supposed to stay in a glass. All of a sudden the water poured out and a dancer came out and slipped on the water. I mean, it just kind of goes to show that there is a lot of sometimes bad magic out there.
A lot can go wrong in the wrong hands, right?
And then, you know, and then very surprisingly, one of our former guests, and not soon after I saw this show, Melinda, the First Lady Magic, who was on, who was an incredible magician.
Right, one of the best.
You know, after seeing so many kind of lower magic shows, all of a sudden, she was in the V show, as she still is, and she went on, I'm like, wow, seamless.
Yeah.
A pro. Seamless.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's spellbinding. Yeah, yeah. She's very good.
And so, you know, it's just there are, and when it is good magic, like Lance Burton, to me, is missed. I mean, nobody works doves like Lance Burton.
Yeah, I was going to mention that when you were talking about, you know, and we were talking about the cycles that the entertainment industry goes through in town. That seemed to be the point where it sort of ended a little bit for big scale traditional magic in Las Vegas, was when he closed it, I think it was in 2009, at Monte Carlo. And it seems to me that maybe Rick is trying to move into that direction without the cats. Rick Thomas, without his, you know, he's going to try and go for something in a more traditional vein without, you know, any peripheral.
He said he still uses birds. I didn't ask if they were right. Because, you know, I'll never forget Lance Burton. One of the funniest lines is he was backstage with Wayne. Wayne's standing there in his tux about to, go out on stage, and he's laughing. He's like, you're so calm before. He's like, usually I'm stuffing things everywhere before I'm about to go on stage, and you're just walking right at me. And I never really thought about it because, again, I think magic. Literally, the doves are appearing out of nowhere.
Right.
You know?
And Wayne's tux, all he has to worry about are the cufflinks. Really.
Exactly. Make and sure not that... losing any of his diamonds on the stage.
He doesn't have to worry about the bow tie flying off
exactly.
his neck or anything. That's great stuff. That's really funny. Well, up next, as we have indicated, is the great Rick Thomas. He's coming up soon at the Suncoast Showroom, so he'll be joining us. But first, it's Josh Bell with Movies. Stick around. I know we will.
Hi, I'm Andrew Freeman.
And I'm John Payne. We're both from Raiding the Rock Vault, LVH.
Raiding the Rock Vault.
And you're listening to us on Cats with a Dish.
Raiding the Rock Vault.
Yeah! We gotta punch a hole in this fence soon or we're dead in the water. Weapons lock. Said there was a weapons lock in the back. Jackpot! What you got? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Take that thing, it's in your right hand. That's a blast shield. Perfect. Get me to the fish, Cal. I know you're into peace and all that. You gotta stick that thing out there and go to work.
Damn right.
That's Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx in the new action thriller White House Down. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. In White House Down, Tatum plays a member of the Capitol Police who ends up in the wrong place at the wrong time when terrorists take over the White House and capture the president, played by Jamie Foxx. The movie sticks pretty closely to the Die Hard in the White House formula, complete with sneering cartoonish bad guys, a cute child in peril, lame one-liners, allegedly shocking plot twists, and a looming international crisis. The plotting is incoherent and laughable, the characters are one-dimensional, and the special effects are surprisingly chintzy. By the time the second or third over-the-top climactic battle arrives, the movie has gone from dumb fun to just plain dumb. I give White House Down 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is The Heat, a buddy cop movie starring Sandra Bullock as an uptight FBI agent and Melissa McCarthy as an uncouth Boston police detective.
Okay, I look like I've been attacked.
That's not my fault.
What? It's my fault?
Let me even out the bottom.
Okay, would you just stop carving up my clothes?
I'm making shorts. Everybody likes shorts. Jesus, hold still.
Bullock and McCarthy's character types are standard issue, as is the plot that forces them to work together, going from antagonists to allies. But despite the lazy plotting and the inconsistent humor, Bullock and McCarthy have excellent chemistry, and there are enough funny moments in their banter to make The Heat a worthy addition to the buddy cop canon. I give The Heat 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Joining us now is one of the city's best-known stage performers over the past 2 decades, nearly. He has showcased a Magic and White Tiger act that has performed at many resorts up and down the Strip during that time. On June 29th and 30th, he is back on a Las Vegas stage, but without those tigers, at the Suncoast Showroom. Welcome to the show, Rick Thomas. Thanks for being here, Rick.
It is a pleasure to be back.
Good to see you. You've been gallivanting all over the globe in the past several months.
Yes,
tell
us about all your travels.
It was 15 years I've been performing on the Strip, and I decided to go back out and tour again, tour the world. And I just got back from Japan, and I love it. I love touring, and you know what it was? Vegas almost became a 9-to-5 job for me. Here I am performing for thousands of people every day, and I felt like go in, go to work, go home, go to sleep, go in, go to work. Mm-hmm. You know, it just became monotonous. Mm-hmm. And I love the show, and I look back forward to coming back to the Strip. But man, getting back out on the road and packing up the show every night and touring in the trucks and the trailers and no tigers was a blessing in disguise.
Well, now, did the tigers go away because of all of the traveling in other countries and having to go through, you know, customs and all that?
This last year, I performed for 6 months in Korea, and we brought the tigers with us.
Oh, you did?
And
okay.
At the end of that tour, I decided after 20 years performing with the tigers that it was time for me to make a change in my life and a change in theirs. We call it Rick Thomas Part 2, or Point 2-0.
There you go.
ZX.
Yes, there you go.
Point 2. And I think that the point was is, yes, the tigers were a great part of my show, but they weren't my show. People weren't coming to my show just to see the tigers. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know, for 20 years I've been just telling people constantly, we have to save the tigers, conservation, and at the same time I'm performing them with them in my show. And after so much of telling the public what we should do about taking care of the cats and how we should try to get the tigers back in the wild, and at the same time kind of having a conflict with myself performing, if out of all the people I've talked to my whole life, if there was one person it affected, it was me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I finally got it, and I took them to Keepers of the Wild.
I was going to say, what happened
yes,
to them?
Yes, we worked them out. They're beautiful. They're running around on the side of a huge valley. And in fact, I'm going back there next week, and I'm shooting a shot. I'm videotaping a footage of my tigers there at the reserve and putting together a video that I'll be playing in the middle of my show about my life with the tigers and where they are now.
Like wow. A mini documentary?
I think, yeah, and a short one. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they want when they come see a live show, they do not want to see 5 minutes of video while the entertainer's backstage taking a drink.
Yeah.
They don't handle that very well.
Where is Keepers of the Wild, by the way, Rick?
They are off Route 66 in Arizona.
Arizona.
Oh, so they're close.
Great drive.
So now, how many did you have?
At one point, I've raised 15 tigers from birth.
Wow.
And at one point, I had 9 at one point altogether. And after 20 years, of course, tigers live anywhere from 15 to 20 years. My tigers have come and some have gone. And I ended up with 6 tigers left before I took them to Keepers of the Wild.
Now, were they all white tigers?
No, I had orange tigers and white tigers. I personally think the orange tiger, white tigers are beautiful. People say, oh, I want to hug them. They just look like a teddy bear. But I think that the orange tiger is the most beautiful animal on earth.
I watched this crazy documentary and I became obsessed with it. So, and you're probably one of the only people I could talk to about it, called Cat Dancers. Did you ever hear of this, about the couple that they performed everywhere, they did magic, and they started off as dancers, and it actually they had all types of tigers, and it was actually the white tiger that ended up killing their assistant and the female.
Oh my goodness!
And so and the wife in the act, and there was a big thing saying about white tigers about how their temperament is not as docile and friendly as the yellow tigers. Did you find that?
No, I didn't find that. And we know that there's challenges with tigers, and there's been, you know, only thing I can say about that is I have a big thing about tigers and working with cats and what people choose to do in their life. Some people choose to bungee jump. Some people choose to race cars and die on the racetrack. Some people choose to race boats. Some people decide to walk out their front door and go to work every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you get on our highways, mm-hmm. it's dangerous. And compared to the people that are working with these animals to what happens in normal life, the odds are it's not going to happen to me as much as it is to anybody else, just being a human being and living in this world.
Just driving around Las Vegas.
Just driving around Vegas.
Rick, when you pulled the cats from the act and put them into the reserve, that it marked the point, really, where there were no tigers being used in any performances in Las Vegas.
Yay.
At all.
Now, I say that in a positive way.
And why is it a yay?
Well, because, again, I've worked with it for a very long time, and I have a great love for them. And I know how hard it is on the entertainer. I spent most of my life savings taking care of my tigers. I spent more on my tigers than most people spend on their family their entire lifetime. But I know what it takes to take care of these animals. And if you're one of the lucky few, like myself, who had a long-running show, who was able to support not only myself, my family, and have a beautiful reserve at my home for my tigers,
visited
awesome. Mm-hmm. But for many other people who are using animals in their show who don't have that luxury, I think that's the biggest challenge. And it's not just tigers. When I was working with my tigers, there were some people next door to me that had dogs. And they had like 100 dogs next door, and they weren't getting food. They weren't getting water. And here in Las Vegas, the sun was beating down on them, and I called animal control on them.
Yeah.
And I have animal control.
And I said, what can you do about it? I called the USDA on them. And they said, we have no jurisdiction over them. They're not an endangered species. We can't do anything about it. But my tigers require air conditioning. Mm-hmm. Pools,
you know,
all they this, could have easily called about you.
But
just
the dogs,
for no
they
reason.
Didn't. They couldn't do anything about it.
Huh.
Yeah, so animals, I don't even allow my dogs outside this.
So
this
animals
kind of weather,
overall,
yeah.
they have an issue. And again, for those that use animals, and honestly, so I use birds still in my show. I love birds, and there's a way that I do it, and I believe it's okay. But I just think that the tigers in my situation are better off, both I and my tigers, and I can focus more now on my show rather than cleaning up tiger poop.
did your mindset? I think that's a good option anyway.
I think the dancers are allowed. but
so
you
please
know,
understand.
Yes. I'll take what's behind door number three anyway. But Rick, what went through your mind when you heard about what happened with Roy Horn? It was almost 10 years ago now, over at the Mirage.
Gosh,
where he was attacked on stage, and in a very routine performance. What went through your mind, and did it change the way you approached what you do?
Of course, I was there that night, not at his performance, but I went to the hospital that night, and I wasn't able to get in, but I was there. And the next day, I was performing my show, and I thought maybe I should remove these animals from the show at that point. And the show was sold out. My show was sold out. And I was debating before curtain opened, what do I do? What do I do? And the audience made my decision for me. Mm-hmm. There were people that still knew that. And again, you have to put it in perspective. We know that there was an accident, but... putting it in perspective with everything else that goes on in our life. And so I've just decided that in this situation, showing the public my animals, showing them where they are, because I don't, and then we still sell stuffed animals in the show, but the proceeds go to saving the animals. So that's cool. And they're not even in the show anymore. And I sell more stuffed animals now than I ever.
Well, I have a question for you.
Because there's a purpose, but there's a purpose behind it. I think if people know that, you know, I'm profiting off of, there's other things that are sold in the show, DVDs or whatever, but the stuffed tigers, you know, do something good.
But because you are an expert on this, what do you think happened? I mean, there's been so many people that have given their opinions on what happened that night with Roy Horn. Knowing cats like you do, what do you think happened? I mean, there's no way.
Knowing tigers. And knowing that we don't know 1/100th of what's goes on in their head, and we just—it's a heightened sense of, all we can say is we try our best to understand these animals, and they understood them better than anyone, and it was just a fluke accident. Mm-hmm. And I have my theories on it, but now we need to talk about my show.
Well, absent this will segue into that. What is your show going to be like now that there's not that element? What are we going to see?
When I made that decision. And I called literally theaters across the world, and I said, now, I'm about to present to you my show, but I'm not doing it with the cats. Do you still want me?
Mm-hmm.
And the theaters, I had not one theater say anything other than, we're bringing you in for you, not for your tigers. We know that Rick Thomas can sell the show whether they're there or not.
Yeah.
And everything that we've done since then has been rock solid. And I'm thrilled. You can really see it in my show. You can see that... When I'm performing, when you're working with tigers in the moment that one appears on stage, I'm not a magician anymore. I'm a tiger handler.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that's about Rick Thomas and performing a show goes out the window. And all I'm thinking about is safety of myself, the tigers, and I'm dealing with food and water and cleanup. And it's a lot to handle. But when you eliminate that from your show and focus more on the show itself and not have to worry about a tiger running around backstage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can focus and do other things.
Are you enjoying it more?
Oh, I'm enjoying life tremendously.
So you're enjoying doing the show more and not having to worry about that?
Yes, but I made sure that my tigers were... I made sure that they were put in a position where they lived even a greater life than I could have offered them now. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do anything less. I've done more. And I also have had direct contact with many of the reserves in India. There's a few of them right now that I'm considering helping and assisting on the conservation effort with the actual reserves in India. Nothing about just the United States, not about the tigers that are here in the U.S. that we're trying to take care of. And there's, you know, just too many of them. But actually go where the problems are.
Mm-hmm.
And the problems are... one place, of course, in India. And I spent a lot of time looking at and trying to figure out who's the best I should go to. Where should my money go to help the tigers in the wild?
Hmm.
You know, who's the best?
So now, in the new show, obviously there's a lot of things that have been replaced. Is it replaced by more dancers? Is it, what is the...
I have to laugh at that because my son...
Any dancers?
Yes, yes. Gorgeous. And I think that's another thing. People love my show too because I have some great looking girls. They're more like the girl next door. My show is always designed after. It's not about the showy showgirl and all the feathers, but women on stage that are just truly beautiful. My son is now 14 years old, and he wants to learn magic, and I've been trying to teach him magic. And so I actually brought the first show I did was a few months ago, even at the Suncoast, and I brought him to the show, and he worked backstage, and he's 14. And it's very difficult because now I'm not worried about those tigers backstage. I have one hand over his eyes
yes.
and the other one going, ta-da, to the audience.
Because yeah. dancers, they have to do a lot of quick changes. Even yes. any kind of theater performances. Women have to do a lot of fairly naked quick changes in the wings
They've
of
theaters.
They've
been known to bite performers,
yes.
too.
So we are,
drag
we
him
are,
off stage.
We now have to coordinate and plan where he is at any given point in the show.
So funny.
It's a family show.
It's a family show, except for backstage.
Yeah.
Put the reality cam backstage.
The reality,
that'll
yes.
be the documentary.
So now you've had to create a lot of different illusions for the new act, right?
Yes. Yes. I have actually, I'm leaving after the show here in Vegas and going to Europe for 4 months.
Wow.
So
wow.
I'm touring anything you can think of, whether it be Italy or Greece, and we're even going to St. Petersburg. So there's a lot of moving around out there. And I had to create illusions that I could travel with as much as I'm going to be doing in the next 4 or 5 months. So there's a couple new pieces that we call them talking sequences or in-ones, where we perform them. They're not the massive grand illusions, but literally they are the pieces that the audience talk about. They're the ones that are the most intriguing because they have the most personality about them. It's not about a magician pulling a box out and cutting a girl in half. It's really moments where you and the audience relate. One of the greatest pieces in my show people talk about more than anything in my show is my watch trick, where I borrow a watch from the audience and somehow it is destroyed. And what happens to it is when people walk out of the show, that's all they talk about.
Wow.
You spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on these massive illusions and they walk out talking about that guy with the watch.
Yep. The up-close stuff is really impressive.
I am more impressed with close-up magic than other things because of the fact that you really, when they're big, huge illusions, which I understand on stage, people have to do. Uh-huh. But when, you know, someone who's a magician comes up to me and, you know, makes my ring end up somewhere in someone's wallet or something, whatever the thing is that I you know, because you're really looking real close and you're like, you know, you're trying to figure out how to do it and you can't. It's even more impressive. Those the more yes. subtle tricks, I think, are almost more impressive.
Well, the new one that I've just created, I can't tell you all of it, but I actually, again, find that the greatest magic is borrowing something from the audience. So we invite people from the audience to lift anything out of their purse or their pocket and drop it into this chest. And then through visually, you see me pass through quite a few obstacles to get to that chest to pull things out of it, in which I do, just with my arm. Mm. And it's fascinating because the audience sees it, they see everything locked up, and then just with my arm, we call it grand larceny. and the idea is no matter where you put it or place it, in fact, now you see me, I guess the movie out right now is they got a guy who goes to the bank and then they give the money back to all the people in the theater. It's kind of like that on miniature scale. No matter where you put your possessions, mm-hmm. I can get them.
Wow.
And I literally pull them from where they are and then give them back to the audience. So again, it's all about this relationship with the audience. And people have always said that my personality is what sells my show. Anybody can make, and I'm not, because I make cars and helicopters and airplanes appear on stage. So yes, I can do those things. Mm-hmm. But what sets you apart is the personality. My joy in my life growing up and wanting to perform in Las Vegas was watching the greats of Vegas. Before it became production shows.
Yes.
You had the Liberacis. You had the Gene Kellys and the Fred Astaires. What made Liberace great? Were there guys who played the piano as good as Liberace? Yes. Well, what made him Liberace? Presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Personality.
Yeah.
And so I studied these people and said, what makes them great beyond their art?
Mm-hmm.
It really is you.
What is your future like in Las Vegas? I know you've mentioned doing all this touring. You're here occasionally. Mm-hmm. You've performed at a lot of resorts in this city. A lot of them aren't around anymore.
Uh-huh.
The Stardust, and you closed the Sahara also.
Now, be careful, because that every time you say that, it says you've performed at a lot of resorts that aren't there anymore.
that have been closed.
Demolished.
That have been demolished.
Rick Thomas performs and then...
We're not saying that there's any correlation between hotels imploding.
The point is, the fact is that they happen to... You have been around long enough to see the
yes.
advent of the improvement
well
in our
done.
Casinos
well
in Las
done.
Vegas.
Well
you've
done.
Seen, you've been around that long. The point is that you've seen a lot of different showrooms, a lot of venues, a lot of change in the city.
Yes.
Is there a spot for you in the next in the advent of the next Las Vegas entertainment period for what you do.
Absolutely.
Do you want to be here?
Absolutely. Yes. My family is still here, and I want to raise my family in Vegas. And when I'm on tour, I don't get to see my children too often. So the idea is to stick here and raise the family and stay here. And yes, there is opportunity, and it's great. It is great to be able to call up the hotels and the entertainment directors and say, hey, this is Rick Thomas. Hey, what you doing?
Yeah.
You know, instead of, who are you? Leave us alone. We'll call you. Don't call us. And I remembered. I mean, it's not too far off where, I mean, I was one of the most successful Vegas shows 15 years, 365 days a year, my show on the Strip. Not too many shows can say that.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm very proud of it. And yes, we are coming back and we're in negotiations, so we'll see how it goes.
With something on the Strip?
Yes.
I remember because we had talked around the time I was covering the closing of the Sahara a couple years ago in May of 2011. And we had talked about a plan that you had maybe to go into a resort, the Riviera was the place, and have some kind of very expansive production in there.
Yes.
Is that the type of thing you want to do? And what happened to that deal, by the way? And is that the type of thing you want to do?
What happened with it was the show itself and the theater were not a good mix. We had to put a lot of money. We were required to put a lot of money into a theater that was not ours.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a choice that you have to make because after your show leaves or goes somewhere else, you can't take with you that theater.
Mm-hmm.
Could we have performed there? Did I want to? Absolutely. But I believe that what I'm preparing to do needs a grand theater, and it needs to be here in Vegas. In fact, right now we're doing a modified version. I'm preparing to do a modified version of that same show on tour.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what? If I don't have the theater just right here, because for a theater to open up and a show to not be there, and you to then find to be in the good graces of those particular people who are looking for their next show, and everything come together, it was always told to me, getting a showroom in Vegas is like winning the lottery because there's so many people out there fighting for this and fighting for that, and they've got so much money. I've seen so many people throw their money into this city and their show not work out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just because you're in Vegas doesn't mean you're going to make it. In fact, I've always told people, they go, Rick, where's your success in Vegas? Your success is becoming something before you get here. Don't come to Las Vegas thinking you're become a great star. Become the great star. That's what Vegas is. Vegas is a place where once you've created a show and you are somebody, you have a right to be here. And there's so many of my so many people say, Rick, how did you do it? And I said, well, I performed and toured for 10 years on the road, living out of a suitcase before I even stepped foot in Vegas thinking I was good enough to be here. And you got some people who, I'm going to go to Vegas and make it big.
They find out
make it big somewhere else and then get here.
It's not the incubator they thought it was.
Exactly.
Oh, man, we see that all the time.
Yeah.
Come and go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most of them.
But I love it, and I love what it's been for me, my family, and my life. I thank Vegas with all of my heart, and I still have a good name here, so I think I have a good chance of putting on the show that I want.
Well, the next one, as we wrap it up here, make ourselves vanish, June 29th and 30th at the Suncoast Showroom.
I'm thrilled. In fact, I'm very proud to say that the last time we were there, a few months ago, we sold out.
Yay!
So the locals, you know, I know that if you want a chance to do it again, they gave me complimentary tickets that I could give out to some maybe family or friends that I might have. And they called me back and said, we need your tickets back.
Oh, said, well, that's
why
a good
do you need my tickets?
Have.
We need to sell those.
Make money.
Right. Well, that's a great
well done.
Yes.
Well, we'll see you there at the Suncoast. I'm looking forward to seeing the updated act. Rick, and it's great to see you again back in Vegas.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming down.